Shot of Ready Podcast. 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 Shot of Brandy Podcast, man. It's episode 189, the return of Apollo Woods, man. What's good, Apollo, man?
Man, a lot's been going on, man. But God is good and everything is good, man.
Oh yeah,
I ain't got no complaints, really.
Yeah, man. We live on a Sunday, man. We live, man. It's a good look for the city. It's my first time out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. This is a great look for the city, man.
You gotta come upstairs when we get done. They coming.
Okay, so is this what you wanted?
Is they in here?
Oh, man, they most definitely in here. No. Okay, but the last time we talked, right?
Yeah.
You were introducing yourself to me, and you was telling me your story on how you came back to the hometown.
Right.
Okay. Now it's 2021,
mm-hmm.
and it's on a Sunday brunch. Is this what you visioned?
You know what? What we're experiencing on Sunday at Parlor is what I've always wanted to see in Oklahoma City. You know, there's a lot of talk about, people say that we don't have this, we don't have a place where you can kind of, you know, where it's nice, or
right.
get folks who don't know me all on the scene by connecting again, and to see that people are bought into it.
Right.
That people really are like, you know what, I'm going to come out. And especially being downtown. Downtown is not a place where, like, we've been able to kick it. And,
right.
And to see, man, people coming out. We got folks coming from Wichita, Kansas, Dallas and Tulsa and Lawton in the area coming in and supporting. And it's beautiful to see black folks come together, man, and we having a great time, man.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think the city, did the city know that we had it in us?
Nah.
I know we did, right.
And I think when you've been told that what we don't have so much, it becomes programmed.
Right.
And it takes people, especially when you work for yourself, right? Like, you have to have a certain level of, like, grit and ambition and a vision that people can't see.
Exactly.
To say, like, man, like, we want this. Because so many people would tell me, like, man, we want this. And I'm like, why we keep going to Dallas?
Right.
Why we taking our money somewhere else when we can be taking it here? Now, this is the first step of what we're going to do to bring black folks together. But eventually, you know, we're going to move these populations to the Brahmi black sides and black-owned businesses and black-owned buildings.
Exactly. Man, it seemed like during the pandemic, man, like you had the whole industry on your back.
Oh, bro.
Like, I watched.
That's heavy.
Like, since you left the show, like, I watched every move, right? Mm. And it just seemed like, man, that you was just carrying them, man. Like, you were making sure that they don't tank.
So, I was in an interview. That's heavy. So, I was in an interview with the Main Street Alliance, and they asked the question, because we were talking about, I didn't get approved for CARES Act money.
Mm.
So I didn't get the PPP loan, despite what the streets say. Everything you see is out of my pocket, my late nights, my money,
right.
All that, right?
Exactly.
And so so he asked me, he said, what happens if your business closes? And I had to take a minute, because I was about to bust out crying, because I felt like if I stopped what I was doing, who was going to keep the conversation about black-owned business and restaurants in the forefront?
Right.
Like, who was going to keep doing it? Because I didn't see it consistent around the space. I didn't see that.
Right.
And so it was a heavy weight to feel, but I also realized that's part of what our mission is, which is bigger than the food.
Exactly. Your mission, right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because it seemed like you showed us that, man, these spots are great. We can go out and spend money with these spots, and we're going to get that top-notch service, too. And it's just, you showed us how to just support.
Right.
Like these restaurants, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, like it is your mission, because you're the perfect guy for the mission. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you have opened the eyes, not just for our community, but all the other communities too.
Oh, yeah. I literally have a lunch meeting probably at least 3 times a week.
I know.
and as exhausting as it is to have to constantly explain to folks outside of our community what's happening to us,
right,
to help them open their eyes and see a system of oppression and racism and prejudice and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also realize that I have a chance to say, let me introduce you to our culture. If you really say that you want to help us, let me show you. Right. Because in 2017, 2018, no one wanted to go to a black-owned restaurant and have a meeting with me. Now, people want to go.
Right.
And so it becomes that accountability of, well, don't just spend my time talking about what we want to do because of Black Lives Matter and rallies and all that stuff. Put your money where your mouth is. And so I'm confident and bold enough to make these very straightforward statements, because what you see in what all the layers you see of Apollo publicly are the mm-hmm. same layers you're gonna get when you sit down in front of me. I'm not the switch up kind of guy.
Right.
That ain't me.
Right. And you up front.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but you know how to talk for us though.
You have to be honest, man. What I see all the time is that I'm a little distracted right now. nobody wants to feel like they chose the wrong person. So the person that you present to them, are they gonna get that same person when they're not around you? So if you're saying this, if you're saying publicly, and this is the problem I have with some of our leadership, what you're saying publicly, you're saying the right things publicly, but when I look at your legislation and what you voted for,
right,
it's the opposite. Right. Or when I'm in a meeting and I see that people say these things publicly, but in that meeting, you start to dance a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
That stuff right there, like I'm not gonna dance for nobody, because that's the detriment of our people.
And then, like, once the money come in, these people can be bought out, like in destroy the community, like, you know what I'm saying?
Or bought.
Why? That's what I'm saying. Just
currently bought.
And then, like I seen you shift to helping the East Side too, though.
Yeah. And yeah. The thing, I mean, it's always been, I think even from the very beginning, it was about helping the East Side anyway.
Okay.
But my shift came in because I had to get people to think that there are so many other things for us to do here. Because mm-hmm. at that time, I didn't even live on the East Side. I do now.
Okay.
But when you start talking about what affects black families and black businesses, they would forget and ignore the black businesses that are not on the East Side.
Right.
So you got, whether it's North Oklahoma City, the West Side, or Southwest Side, or whatever, like, you're completely ignoring them, and they have just about the same challenges, but they're dealing with being the only black restaurant or business in a predominantly white community, or they might be in another minority community by themselves, fighting for themselves, because people forget about them too.
Right, exactly. So was they struggling during the pandemic?
Oh yeah, man. But I will say about our businesses, because we're Brazilian people, in terms of black-owned restaurants, only 3 closed.
Okay.
If I look at the numbers of the other restaurants,
yeah,
several of them closed.
Right.
So we did some really, really good things to stay open, because we've had to deal with working, we've had to deal with getting things without having stuff.
Exactly.
And so for us, when your door's closed temporarily, for us that means that door may never reopen. Mm-hmm. So that's your livelihood, your baby. So we fought through it, and I'm proud of my people, man.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So was the takeout that big of a deal though? Could you say that 3 closed, that's not a lot, you know what I'm saying? But the takeout during that time, could you tell the difference, like during the lunchtime hours and stuff like that? Like, of course.
Oh yeah, it was definitely an offset, because
right,
when you have shelter in place policies that were really, these policies were attacking restaurants and bars.
Okay.
So exactly, they had to have some other kind of way to get their service out. So the takeout and curbside is what helped them, but it's also something that businesses were forced to do because they needed to do it. When you look at the Chick-fil-A's, or I mean, people started going to other franchise spots that they don't normally go to because they made it easier to shop with them. And COVID really made not just black-owned businesses, but small businesses really look at how easy are you making it for people to buy from you.
Okay, right.
So.
Exactly.
But now I think people are starting to level out.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, adjust to the environment, and, you know, people want to get back to living their best life.
Right, right. Then on your podcast that you got,
Oh.
So is that a food podcast or is that a political podcast, man? Which one is it, man? Because I'll be tapping into the
A food podcast, man. Right. So Conscious Disruptors is a podcast from the Oklahoma Black Pack, which I'm the founding chairman of that pack. And so okay. We are a political action committee focused on getting focused on the needs and interests of black folks across the state of Oklahoma and hold our elected officials accountable. On top of that, grow our black caucus. Mm-hmm. So we have straightforward conversation and we talk about what needs to be talked about because right. people need to know. And we talk about voter apathy, but I feel like there's a lot of misconception about what our legislators are actually doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we are consciously disrupting the status quo to make sure we get the right elected officials in advocating for us.
And y'all talking out in the open, though.
I ain't hold no punches.
And the lady that you got on there, she don't hold punches either.
That's the homie. We had the same last name, so Tanasha Woods, but we're not even related. But that's the homie. And I love about her, man. It's like she works at the Capitol. Mm. So she loves political science. And so I learned so much from her. And we just tag team well together because I think people have to start thinking. Like, if somebody tells you something, verify for yourself. Mm. Don't always take somebody's word for it. Right. Verify for yourself. Verify that to be true.
Right. Exactly. So you tapping into the Tulsa market.
Yeah, we have an opportunity. You know, a lot of people don't know that I started out going to school at TU before I moved to Houston. So that's my Tulsa connection. And so we're launching Tulsa Black Eats during Memorial Day weekend. It's the same thing, man. Like, you know, we're at the place now where, here's an example. I went to Denver. I noticed the same issues in Denver were happening that we're having here are happening in Denver. But Denver has 5 professional teams, professional sport teams, same issues. So but they had nobody advocating for them. But we were doing that here. So we want to start in the home state, go to Tulsa and do it there, and then keep going. We got some movie pilots on black food scene working on too, and we start shooting that in a couple weeks.
Okay.
We got a lot of things running, man.
So when you say like move in, like what do you do in the market? Like what is your approach? Because obviously these people trust you.
Well, you know what I think my approach is what I think you gotta build rapport.
Okay, right.
So you can't just go in a place and say, hey, we here. Like, man. It's like somebody come up to your house as a stranger and say, hey, I'm here to eat. Mm. Eat what? Right. Like, well, I didn't invite you here. So you really have to go in and really get to know who the people are. Like, who are the players?
Yeah.
Who are the people who are on that other stuff? And who are the folks that really want some stuff to happen? And in every city now, what you're seeing is you're seeing Gen Xers, you're seeing millennials, you're seeing now Gen Zers are really stepping up to say, man, we want to start leading. We want those opportunities and we're tired of waiting.
And you see it, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Tulsa
is ripe. Tulsa is ripe. The next generation of Tulsa, I better watch out, man. For real.
No, now.
Oh, yeah, now.
No, now. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nah, man. That's going to be a good look.
Yeah. Super excited.
So is your brand, it's now all Oklahoma now. It's not OKC.
So we have, our parent company is Black Eats Enterprises.
Okay.
And so under that we have 7 Oklahoma businesses.
Okay.
And so each city will have its name. So it's Tulsa Black Eats, OKC Black Eats. So it'll focus on that particular, that market, that metro area. So we won't, like here, we do Oklahoma City Metro and Tulsa, it'll be Tulsa Metro area. Whatever that boundary looks like for Tulsa, it'll be the same thing. And then wherever city we end up in.
Right. Yeah, we'll just, man, we just post up.
Yeah. catch a flight, come see us.
Right. Okay, so the backlash.
Hmm.
Why do you give the energy to your haters?
You know what?
I don't like that, man. I don't like when you get the energy to them, man.
Here's why I feel like I do that. I think a couple things. One, I think I have a chip on my shoulder because, I would say it's not the best thing, but it's surprising how much I hear and I see of our own trying to sabotage, right?
Okay, right.
And it's not like when people say like, oh, a little stupid comment, but like, no, like, there are people who call people I work with,
right,
and say, man, you better watch out, don't work with them.
Right.
But I put you on.
Right.
Right. So that stuff burns me the wrong way. But I know I should probably ignore it. But at the same time, I'm like this. I want you to know that I know.
Exactly.
Because if you can say it behind my back, or people are talking with some chick and it gets back to me anyway.
Right.
Or oftentimes it's really dudes talking to dudes and then it gets back to somebody, you know, anyway. But I probably shouldn't pay that much attention to it. But I think for right now, my headspace where I'm at is I don't think people don't understand how much I've had to give up. Mm. And I think that the part,
sacrifice.
That man, like, I think one of the most hurtful things that happened to me recently is that it's feeling rejected by your own.
Oh, yeah.
For serving your own.
Right.
And
giving your all to your own.
Everything. Like, everything. Everything. Right. Like, almost to the point where it was so burdensome. Like, I could have had a stroke.
Mm.
And having to check, like, how about I handle that stress load. So, like, when you feel like you give everything, and especially when you're in your purpose. And my little cousin had to tell me this. He said, man, he said, it's the pain that you feel is part of your purpose is going to make you better.
Mm.
So, I know I should probably not give as much attention to it, but kind of the headspace I am, and I'll eventually get out of it,
yeah,
is to let them cats know, like, I know.
Right.
So whoever you talking to, you just need to stop talking, because it's gonna get bad. But you know, just being authentic to me.
So they don't want you to do what you did for their business to another black business.
No, they just don't want people to do it.
Exactly.
It's like the attitude of, so if you wanted to do it, then why don't you do it?
Right.
Like, what we do as our organization, our team, we just trying to full throttle in our lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what we do should not even concern you. For example, even like with Sunday Social Brunch, yeah, I don't think about what another business is doing.
Right.
All I think about is where's the audience?
Okay.
Like, who am I trying to attract? That's it. I don't care if there was a major event going that day. If I felt like this was something for an audience that we're attracting, I'm going for that, period.
Yep. Yeah, man, but that's easy for you to say, but look at this crowd that you got, yeah, right? So yeah, they know how powerful you are, and they know what you come with, though, you know what I'm saying? And this is money, so that's what they looking at, like, you mm-hmm. taking money from them, you know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, that's the part that bothers me, because if you look at me taking money from you, it's like with everything else in business.
Right.
You got Nike and Adidas, you got these different shoe companies, all kind of shoe companies, but they got their customer. So if you go into a marketplace and you feel like your competitor is consuming the market, then your job is to go get part of that money. But if they're not saying, I'm going to take Nike's customers per se, they're saying, hey, there's this audience that matches our demographic that we want to get. Who I'm after are the people that don't normally go out. That's it. That is it. I'm not after the people who are always on the scene. I want those, like, professionals who say, man, there's nothing for me here, and they drive to Dallas or they fly to Vegas. Right. Like, nah, you can stay here and do that.
Exactly. Then your oppressors, though, you know what I'm saying?
And they look like you, too.
No. Okay.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, man, but I'm talking about, like, the Pharaoh skin, though.
Oh, yeah.
Why you be coming back to them, though? Because that's going to be there. And that's been there since day one, just off the name alone.
Yeah, I think what happens with those folks, like the boogeyman. You know, like those particular people are like the boogeyman, because they feel like because they're white and they got this privilege, they can say what they want and no one does anything.
Right.
Well, the boogeyman's not real.
Right.
So I'm gonna punch the boogeyman in the face.
Exactly.
Because every time you
and go, that you do.
Every time you hit the boogeyman, guess what he does? He goes away. The boogeyman is there because he creates his fear. I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. I'm not afraid of the oppressor, whether he looks like me or not like me. I'm not afraid of that, because what we do is bigger than food. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than having several hundred people come through an event. And it's way bigger than that. It's really about how do we make sure that people, that we feel like we have a place to go. How do we make sure that we feel like that, you know, I feel like I'm invested and valuable in this community. That's what I want folks to feel like.
Exactly.
And so even doing that, you got to be real. Like, we don't have enough of our age group and generation that's saying, man, we're stepping up in this to create space for us to be here and own our rightful place in Oklahoma City.
Exactly. And is this what you wanted right here?
Yeah. I mean, this is part of what I want.
Okay, right.
Part of what I want. The bigger thing of what I want is I want us to be in spaces where we can make decisions. I want this audience. I want this 35 to 44 age range or 27 to 44 age range. I want them in board positions. I want them running for office. I want them opening up businesses. I want people to stop saying, hey, we don't see black professionals here. Well, yeah, you're right here. Give them what they want.
Exactly.
And we're trying to give them what they want to create for a bigger opportunity for them.
Exactly. So do you ever see yourself owning a spot, though?
Absolutely.
Because this is what, I mean, this is your vision, and this is your event, and this is your people that's supporting you, right?
Right.
So if you had your own spot, man, it'd be sky's the limit.
Like, I'm
talking about like during the week. Like you can have this during the week.
When you realize how much money you're giving to somebody else, it's like, ooh. You know what I'm saying? But I think part of that plan is building an audience.
Right.
You know, and I realize that I'm not from Oklahoma City, I'm from Duncan.
Okay.
So I'm an outsider.
Yeah, right? But you from Oklahoma, though.
I am. But that's not how Oklahoma City sees it.
Oh, okay.
So you're an outsider. Like, you're still an outsider. And I still got to, you know, kind of navigate through that piece. But at the same time, it's like, look, this is what we can have. All right, now, if I get all these folks together and if we can spend $10,000 in a couple of hours, how do we get this money over into a black-owned business?
Right.
How do we get this regularly over to our own?
Right.
And so that's part of what, it's like when you said, do people feel like this is possible? And I said, no, but this for me is like, look, y'all, this is possible.
Exactly.
We had no issues. We had no issues.
Why would we have issues on a Sunday when the sun is out and all we want to hear is music and good food?
Whether it's Sunday or whatever it is, right?
Right.
We've had no issues. Because people think that, oh, there's going to be a problem. Ain't no problem.
No.
There's been no problem.
That's the media that be that be portraying us like that. Yeah. Like,
and sometimes we believe it, though. Like, we believe that we'll go on place like, oh, how long is that going to last? Like, right. It'll last as long as I say it's going to last, right?
Exactly.
Because I think we do a great job of, like it's like in business. Give people what they ask for. That's it. They want this, give it to them. That's all.
Exactly.
And to see every week, man, people are like, man, thank you for doing this. So I'm like, man, I'm the conduit per se, but this is who we are.
Right.
Like, this is organically who we are.
Exactly.
Like, beautiful black folks having a great time, loving to see on each other, smiling, hugging, high-fiving, and having a great time. Yeah. That's the essence of who we are as people.
Exactly. Man, well, it's beautiful, though, man.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. You know? I'm excited.
Right. Because this is just the start, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, this is, like, you're not even 2 months in.
Nah.
Exactly. And it's already like, I mean, come on, man, it's like it's packed.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this before, I'm a commissioner on Convention and Visitors Bureau. So we talk about tourism and attractions and hotels all the time. And so for me it was, how do I get us started? How do I start helping change the attitude of, because it's going to get warm. We didn't have a summer or spring last year.
Right, so it's going to be.
The streets are calling, right? So how can we create a space that makes me feel like, you know what? I've been a part, I feel comfortable enough, and I'm being socially responsible as best I can. I'm going out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this because I can't live my life in this, like, closed environment all the time.
Right.
That actually messes with your mental space. So, and even then to see, like, man, like, my eyes are moving around because we never told anybody about a dress code.
Exactly.
We never said dress code, none of that.
Right.
None of that. And so you see.
Didn't pin us down and try to make us feel, you know what I'm saying, like a way, like we.
Folks are just showing up.
Right.
But they looking their best,
right.
Looking beautiful,
right.
And having a good time.
Exactly.
And they're like, man, this don't look like Oklahoma City. But it is Oklahoma City.
Right.
So if we can do this, why can't we do this?
Right.
But let me just say this, because I know somebody's probably watching this, man. Like, there doesn't need to be one Sunday social brunch. There needs to be multiple brunches, multiple happy hours going on at the same time. When I lived in Houston, there was all kind of, there were multiple things going on at the same time.
Yeah.
Because who I'm attracting for this thing, whatever that thing is, may not attract somebody else. Mm-hmm. So then you do your thing. Like, fill your lane and get your folks. So then I can say, hey, man, like, we ended at 3, but we finna go over here.
Right, exactly.
Right now, I don't
Sunday like fun day, right?
I don't have that option to be able to say, like, where can I say, there's this audience going on, or this thing going on, we're going over here. I can't move, I can't push the crowd. But, like, around, live music starts at about 23 minutes. But it,
live music.
But at 3 o'clock, somebody's gonna say, man, what's next?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going home. I'm tired.
Yeah, because it's work for you, right?
Oh yeah. But I love it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. So you can still sip a little bit.
I love it. And I love it because I'm literally sitting back and like, where else have I seen this in the city?
That's what I'm saying.
But like, what I want to see in black-owned spaces.
Right.
But it starts here. We can have it both. We can have it in spaces that are not black-owned. Because I'm teaching them about diversity in a way that they didn't know.
Exactly.
They're getting taught.
Right.
Like, they getting a lesson.
And that's why I say that you the man for the job, though. Because you know how to talk to them.
Getting a lesson.
Like, stern and still get your message out, but still do it in a way where it's, like, still mellow.
Because the numbers matter. The numbers matter. And even when I'm not. Like, there are a lot of times I'm like, look, I'm not hearing that I treat people the same. No, you don't.
Right.
Like, if you treat everybody equal, then you're ignoring the journey of black folks.
Right.
So let's consider that. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll take whatever level, because at the end of the day, I want people to know I'm fighting for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not fighting against you. But if you bring it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man.
During your own event, man, you taking time out for me, man, the
absolutely,
podcast,
bro.
Man, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I love what you're doing, man. I see you involved as well, man. You on the road, highlight more artists.
Yeah,
showing the thing about even the female rap scene. Like, I was like, man, I didn't even know about that until you said it. I was like, yeah, you on something.
Yeah.
So I definitely love your vision just doing this too, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, man, like, you be helping other businesses too, man, because Devoted Media, like, told me.
Homies.
You know what I'm saying?
Homies, man.
Yeah, man, like, you low-key with it too, though.
I don't have to get no credit for that. Like,
right.
If you good people, and I'm like, man, look, go ahead, do that.
Exactly.
Because you need it. It doesn't make any sense for me to open the door for myself.
Right.
Like, it does not make, it's like, I'm in this place now where I'm in certain things, and I'm like, I'm not getting off of it until somebody looks like me in that seat. And I told them, like, I'm ready to get out of this seat, but I need somebody that can take this on. I didn't do this work to get us there for you to give it and to go backwards. No, I need another black person who can carry the work that we've done in this seat. Until then, I'm standing.
Right.
And that's how I am, man. Like, I want to open up doors because I want to see folks do their thing, man. We got too much talent in this city.
Man, we got
too
a lot
much
talent of talent. Man, that's what I'll be trying to showcase. Okay, two more questions, right? Okay, so the East Side Market, is that for us?
Yeah.
Or is that getting ready to show them that they can come over there?
I think the East Side Market is definitely it's a response to the needs of needing a better, healthy option in the city.
Okay.
It's an example of how people can work together, but it's also an example of how black folks can do the same thing for us too.
Right.
So. I love what they do, what they've done to create it. But I also look at it as, so what kept it from being, what kept other opportunities to invest money from public-private partnerships into black-owned establishments?
Right.
I love the Restore Market. I love that it's there. It's a beautiful thing, and it makes me emotional for a number of reasons, but it's also an example, if you really pay attention, it's an example of what we can do in our own communities. But we gotta show up for that. We gotta show up and fight for that and hold our folks accountable.
Right. Okay, man, last question. Now the other grocery store, is that for us?
Homeland?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, so you believe that the East Side is gonna stay black?
No.
That's what I'm asking.
That's a different question.
No, it's not.
So when
they're setting it up.
So when you say
hey,
is the store for us? Yes. Is the other question being that how do we keep the East Side black?
Right.
The only way that we're going to be able to do that is we have to show up, and we have to make our voices heard, and we got to do what we say. We got to be in those spaces. We can't just be loud and be disruptive, right. But are we showing up to the polls? Are we showing up to make sure whoever we elect, their job is to do what we tell them to do. Right. That's what their job is. So we got to do that. But I don't see, even if you look at other cities, I don't see, when you look at trending numbers, you don't see, unless they're in a rural black area, mm-hmm. that community's going to stay predominantly black. And what's trending on the east side right now is it's trending to be not the majority in its own community.
Yeah, man, but they took out Northeast, mm-hmm. and they about to change it to them. They already jogging over there. Mm-hmm. They buying up land. Like, people don't understand, like, the property on the east side is still beautiful. Like, it just needs to be redone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they're doing that, though.
But why are we not doing it?
Exactly.
So here's what I believe is. Just like you asked before, did you think that Oklahoma City saw this is possible? And I said no. I think people believe that it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to say, there's a lot over here. Well, if you pay the taxes, then you can own that lot. What do you do with it? Build on it. Are there programs there? Yes. But we gotta show up and be present. We cannot depend on our black pastors, our elected officials to tell us what to do, because half the time they don't even know.
Right.
So if we really want that to change, we want to preserve the culture of our communities, mm-hmm. then we have to show up, and we have to show up and do it for ourselves.
Right.
Because it is absolutely possible. Look at that Fifth Ward in Houston. You look at Atlanta. You looking at like Chicago. Looking at Tulsa. Right. If the examples are there, we have to believe we can do it. So we need folks to come together and say, I don't care what they're saying. We are going to do this for us.
Exactly. I appreciate you, Apollo, yeah, man. Hey, man, you a smart man, man. Full of wisdom, man. I always appreciate it, man.
I do the best I can, brother.
Yes, sir.
Let's go on back and see this
Russell light up. Shot of Brandy podcast, yeah, man. That's episode 189. The return of Apollo Wood, man. We definitely going back.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah.
Man, it was all good. Fucking truck.